The bullet's gone.
Welcome to another episode of Big Fish Radio. This is Captain Barry. I've got Alex on the mic, as always, and we have someone stepping in for
a special guest.
A special guest, Mr. Josh Olive, stepping in for Robert.
Captain Josh Olive.
Captain Josh Olive stepping in.
Mr. Captain Josh Olive is fine.
The fish coach, Josh Olive.
Mr. Captain, the fish coach, no other than Josh Olive.
Esquire. Mr. Captain, the fish coach.
The fish coach who also publishes Waterline Magazine, Josh Olive.
And who does, like, so many different radio shows.
Right. What are your other radio episodes that you do?
Well, we do the one that we've been doing for 5 years now, which is Radio Waterline on Kix Country on Saturday mornings. That's a two-hour show. Check it out at radiowaterline.com. And then I also have a whole plethora of other shows. And honestly, I don't know which ones are on the air and which ones aren't right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even going to bother.
Everything's on fishandfranks.com. Except for Waterline.
Yeah.
So we it's can good stuff. Whenever I want to listen to you, I can listen to you.
So basically what you're saying is you don't know when, but you're going to have a lot of things coming out in the future.
Yes, there are many things about which we will talk. And one of those things is the thing that we're going to talk about today, which you guys were so gracious as to let me pick, which is peacock bass.
Peacock bass.
I've gotten one or two. Or
have you,
more.
Alex?
Yes.
Nice. Did you do it... Well, Josh, how far north in the state of Florida would you say you can catch a peacock bass? And, like, where is that cutoff line?
All right. So let's talk about officially where peacock bass are.
Good.
Officially, peacock bass are in the canal systems of the southeastern part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
They come up as far as about Lake Worth, mm-hmm. and that's it, officially.
And they were introduced, like, what is it, back in the 90s or 80s?
So the FWC's predecessor, mm-hmm. the Game and Fish Commission, introduced two species of peacock bass into Florida waters. They introduced a butterfly peacock bass and a speckled peacock bass. And the whole point of introducing those fish was to eat up all of the other accidentally introduced fish that had gotten out into our waters. So
they introduced a peacock bass, an invasive species, to eat out other invasive species that were introduced.
Correct.
It's like a double negative. You're trying to solve a problem with
America.
Right.
Have you ever sung the song about the lady who swallowed the fly?
I have not.
Because she swallows the fly, and then she has to swallow a spider to eat the fly, and then she has to swallow a cat to eat the spider, and then she has to swallow a dog to chase the cat, and then eventually she swallows a horse and dies. Pretty much that's exactly what we've done. Yep.
So,
because the next step is to introduce caimans to eat the peacock bass, then we have to introduce jaguars to eat the caimans, and then the jaguars will eat us.
Wow. So is that coming in the near future, you think?
Bank on it. Absolutely.
So that's how peacock bass or the butterfly peacock bass got introduced into Florida.
And the speckleds basically died off. Speckleds were not able to withstand our colder winter temperatures.
Right.
I could show you some pictures.
Listen, I'm not saying that they're all 100% completely gone. I'm telling you the official FWC line here. Okay?
Okay.
Settle yourself.
Alex, she's dying. She's itching to pull out her photo albums right now. She just can't wait to show you that she caught that one speckled butterfly peacock that's left.
I caught a bunch. Little baby ones, too.
All right.
Yeah, and there may be some sputterfly peacock bass out there that are hybrids. Mm-hmm. I doubt you'd find any true speckleds out there anymore.
Gotcha. Okay. So
fair.
From the fish coach himself, we have got the official word on peacock bass, on where they're located and how they're introduced to Florida.
Where do they really come from, in reality,
as far north as they go. These fish have been widely introduced by anglers, people who have caught them in South Florida and want to catch them closer to home. So they've been introduced as far north as, let's say, Daytona.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do they survive every year that far north? No. These fish are tropical. They are from the Amazon. They need warm temperatures mm-hmm. in order to live.
Mm-hmm.
So you get water temperatures down into the mid-50s, and that's a real problem for these fish.
Mm-hmm.
It will kill them. So they have to find someplace warm, which usually means either a warm water outflow or someplace deeper to get to. So although I know that those fish have been introduced here in Northport, they're probably not going to live through a cold winter.
Right, really, like we had it back in 2010, something like that.
Oh, so. that 2010 winter was horrible. I mean, that killed peacock bass as far south as Miami.
Right.
So
that was a very cold, I remember those days. That was very, very cold. So even though they could live up here, up in middle of the state for Florida, that it's a matter of time until we get super cold fronts that could wipe them back out again.
So. Absolutely. Until then, they'll be just fine.
Do you think that if that place in Northport's maybe like a natural spring or something, that's what's keeping them alive? Because I've heard they're thriving there and reproducing.
The water in that is pretty deep. Mm-hmm. It's 20 feet plus. So I don't think there's a spring there because there's no outlet there. I think it's just a deeply dug, basically, retention pond. And I think they'll do great there until we get 4 or 5 nights in a row that freeze. Okay. And when that happens, every single peacock in there is going to be dead.
Hmm. Yep.
Nature of the beast.
That's the reality of the situation. So
now, of course, your plan here is to talk about how to catch big peacock bass.
Exactly.
But before we talk about that, I would like to talk about how to catch little peacock bass.
Let's hear it.
So here's the thing about it, okay? Peacock bass are a lot of fun no matter what size they are. And catching the big ones is a hoot, but catching the little ones, for you guys who have mostly been out there catching things like Mayan cichlids or mm-hmm. bluegills or crappie or little largemouth, catching these little peacocks is going to be a treat because they are a lot of fun. They're really aggressive in the way they strike. And every now and then, when you're fishing for the smaller ones, you happen to get a big one that blows by. Mm-hmm. I suggest starting out with the small ones because they're so much easier. And all you really need is a little Rapala minnow. That little tiny 2-inch model that they make is perfect. Get that in the yellow perch color, the fire tiger.
There you go.
Perfect.
And like what pound line would you recommend?
Go as light as you want to go. I'd use 4.
4 pound in like what, like one of those small setups where you have like a 4-foot spinning rod?
Yes, ultralight 2 to 6 pound rod. That's what I'm going with.
Gosh, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie.
Well, it's a hoot, and it's
that, this is a totally different show.
Well, here's the thing, okay? Catching big fish is awesome. I totally agree with you guys on that. Scaling your tackle down for small fish makes it feel like you're catching big fish all the time, and you don't have to work quite as hard to find those animals.
So we've been doing the show wrong. We should have just started from the very beginning of talking about how to scale your tackle down to fight fish to make them feel big. And
absolutely.
That's the new Big Fish Radio.
The Small Tackle Radio Show.
The Small Tackle Radio Show.
I mean, I may not be able to go out and catch a 12-foot hammerhead from the beach, right? But I can take my ultralight and go catch a 4-foot bonnet head down there at Burnt Store, and yeah. It's just the same.
Exactly.
And you can even kayak your bait out if you want to.
Kayak a little piece of shrimp out. That's that's really funny. Josh, so when it comes to the color scheme that you picked for these small peacock bass and that Rapala, my experiences with catching peacock bass is I use brightly colored lures that basically resemble the color of the peacock bass.
Right.
Is that what you're doing here with this Rapala?
It's exactly what I'm doing. Part of the reason that peacock bass have been fairly successful at what FWC introduced them for, which is feeding on other exotic species, is because they tend to prefer brightly colored prey.
Exactly.
So things like firemouth cichlids, Mayan cichlids that have bright orange and red chests, mm-hmm. those are absolutely a favorite food source for them. So go with something that's brightly colored. And here's the other thing. Peacock bass love nothing more than eating little peacock bass.
Exactly. So yeah. That's a fact. That's going to segue to the catching the bigger ones, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. And if you don't believe me, then that's fine. These things are available from aquarium shops. Get yourself a 220-gallon aquarium and put in about 30 peacock bass and put in about 30 other little cichlids and then add one big peacock bass to your mix and see what disappears first.
What do you think, Alex? Can you take a wild guess? Peacock bass is going to disappear.
There
the
you
babies.
Go.
There yep. we go. So
excellent guess.
Right. So my experience with these peacock bass was, well, first off, Alex, when you caught your peacock bass, was it in the southwest region here in Florida?
It was in west Palm Beach.
Oh, so you went to the east coast to catch
yeah.
them. Interesting. How about you, Josh? Have you caught many here in the southwest region?
I've caught a few here. I've been out to the location Northport where I know they are. I've been to a couple places in Fort Myers and Naples where I know they are. None of the fish that I've caught here have been what I would call good-sized peacock bass. In other words, nothing over about a pound, pound and a quarter maybe.
Hmm.
So those are smaller fish, and like I said, light tackle makes them a lot of fun, but you know, there's just something about those big ones because they're so much more colorful, and
yeah.
the males get that big hump on their shoulders. Yeah. That's called a nuchal hump. Nuchal, that's your $10 word for the day. And they only develop that when they become sexually mature. So your mature males are really show-off fish.
Mm. Yeah.
At what age do they develop that coloration?
So it's going to depend in part on how harsh the winters are, because in cold water, peacock bass don't feed very well,
mm-hmm.
so it slows their growth rate. If we have warm winters, then those fish will grow a lot faster. And also, if the waters stay warmer, they grow faster. So fish in South Florida grow a lot faster than fish that have been transplanted up here to the more central parts of the state. You can grow in an aquarium a male peacock bass to full maturity and develop the hump and develop all the bright colors in about 18 months.
Whoa.
So I'm guessing in wild conditions that it takes 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
From a fry?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Most cichlids grow very fast.
Geez, like the mahi-mahi, the dolphins grow like tremendously fast as well. But that's a different story for a different show. What would you consider as a big peacock bass, Josh?
I would say anything over 4 pounds gives you pretty good bragging rights.
Right.
But as far as what's a big one, like I'm going to put this on my wall big, needs to be about 6 pounds or better.
Gotcha. I was going to say 5 pounds. To me, like 5 pounds is right where it's like you caught a big one. Anything from five and up. But I would give you like four. Those are still stud like peacock bass when you catch them.
Oh,
that size.
For sure. And almost all of those bigger peacock bass are going to be males. Like with most other cichlids, the males get considerably larger.
Yeah. So my experience with peacock bass was back in like down in Coral Gables, and there's a lot of public parks like anyone can go to. And the best way I found to target them is they stick out like a sore thumb. So have a good pair of like shades or polarized glasses and just walk along the shore until you like basically see them. Especially in the winter months, I feel like they come even shallower, like right now around this time of the year.
They definitely do, because they're looking to bask.
Yes.
You know, those shallows will actually heat up quicker, and these are daytime active fish.
Yes.
It's one of the most important things you need to understand about peacock bass if you're coming from the largemouth world. You don't fish for these things at night.
No.
You don't fish for these things first thing in the morning or in the evening most of the time. You really want to get out there middle of the day. That's when they're most active.
Right, between 12 and 3. Like, that was, like, the peak time to catch them. Like you said, they're daytime feeders. They're bright. And if you're in a freshwater pond that's clear, you'll see them. And especially in the winter, you're putting all the little things in your favor. When you go out in the winter, bright sunny day in a clear pond, you're going to, like, have a really good chance of seeing these big fish.
Yeah. Now, the trick is going to be getting them to strike.
Right.
Because in a lot of cases, as with other species, once the fish sees you, then it's less likely to want to eat. So you have to do the job then of tempting those fish into actually eating something, which can be challenging.
Mm-hmm. The thing, though, too, with the peacock bass, it's kind of like a triple tail. Not many fish will give you an opportunity to cast multiple times at them without being spooked. Peacock bass, you can throw, I'm not kidding, like 20 or 30 times at the same fish, and then he'll finally strike and hit your lure. So you have a lot of opportunities. It's not like a snook where it's one and done.
Right.
The peacock bass will sit there, and if he doesn't look at your lure the first time, you can do it a second time, a third time, try a different angle. Eventually he's going to hit, or change up your lure. He'll still sit there, and then it's game over. What's worked for me the most is not a Rapala, but like a mirror lure mini, and in like a chartreuse color, just like a baby peacock. That's exactly what I would use.
Yep.
And it was just a matter of time until I just got frustrated seeing it like 15, 20 different times going right by their face, and they'll just hit it out of reaction, and the hook, you'll stick them with the hook.
And this is a lot like largemouth bass, that you know that bass is sitting there in that stump. You can't get him to strike. You just run that lure past his face 40 times, and eventually he hits it because he can't stand it anymore. This works the same way. So having a variety of depths that you can get your lures to run, and while the mirror lure is not a bad choice, that's a slow-working bait.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a little bit more of a pain to get that thing past the fish's face a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
If you run crankbaits instead and have crankbaits that will run at different depths, get some of the fat-bodied ones that only run 4 feet deep, and get some of the long-lipped ones that you can run down 10, 12 feet, it gives you a little bit more opportunity to do exactly what you're saying, where you annoy that fish into striking.
It works so well. It's funny. And obviously, I think the easiest way is if you just have a bucket of shiners.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's
Thank
hard.
You.
Are you
I'm
okay?
Tired of all this lure talk. Let's talk about what really.
We're doing it the sporty way. 4 to 6 pound test with a lure. Is that how you caught yours, Alex?
Shiners, killifish, and tilapia.
See, she's a live bait.
Cast netted.
Yeah.
Live bait girl.
So there's one thing that you should be aware of. If you are using live bait to target these fish, this is a weird law. Okay.
It's an actual law?
This is a law. And I always like to explain the laws to people so they know what they are, and then they can decide whether they want to break them or not, knowing that they might be breaking the law. Because there are some weird laws out there, and I never tell people, listen, you have to follow this because it's the law. But you should know, if you catch an exotic fish, such as a tilapia, a Mayan cichlid, and you want to use it for bait, by law you cannot use it alive for bait. You have to kill it before you can use it for bait. The only exotic species you can legally use for bait in Florida are fathead minnows, which are the ones that everybody sells for crappie, and platies, which are a species that are very uncommonly sold for bait, but you often see in pet stores, sometimes as feeder fish. Legally, that's it. If you catch a tilapia and release it, you're fine. If you catch a tilapia, put it on a hook and put it right back in the same water, you just broke the law.
Wow. That's interesting to think about. That it was already in that pond.
Yes.
You hook it, throw it back in with a hook.
Yes. You could have released it back in the pond, no problem. But by
or
putting a hook
it.
In it. Or killed it.
Yeah.
But if you killed it, then...
If you kill it and then put it back out there for bait, you're
okay.
Absolutely fine.
All right.
100% legal.
Okay.
You just can't half kill it.
Man, there's so many regulations that you really have to be careful of.
I
Jeez
know.
Louise. And they're always changing. Well, thank you for that piece of legal advice.
Well, yeah, that's why I always carry a lawyer in my pocket when I'm going fishing.
Josh Olive, the fish coach, publisher of Waterline Magazine.
Captain.
Lawyer, FWC.
Radio god.
Radio, yes. What else? What other credentials do we need to put out there for you?
Fortune teller.
He's predicted my future.
I've been told I'm a pretty good lover.
All right, we are going to leave that one alone. Do we need to call in somebody to this show right now to verify? Okay, let's not do
that. We don't need to verify.
Okay,
it's fine.
No verification. Yep.
So, no tilapia.
No, tilapia are fine. Kill it first. Or break the law. Your choice. You are a grown adult. You may make that decision for yourself. I just would prefer that you understand the potential ramifications of those decisions. That's all.
Thank you, Josh.
That was so eloquently said.
That's the way the lawyer told me to say it.
Okay.
So we haven't really done the show correctly. So big fish isn't just about where in Florida to catch the biggest of a species. We're talking about in the world.
Oh, well, that's very simple. If you want to catch the largest peacock bass, then you go to Venezuela.
We're going to the Amazon.
Venezuela, Lake Maracaibo is killer. Of course, the political situation down there might get you killed these days. So,
if you have a fishing pole with you at all times, you're cool.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely not. So maybe we should look at the Amazon instead and go to Brazil and see if we can catch some of those big, what they call pavon down there. So, yeah, but lots of opportunities to go catch those in South America.
And how big are those?
Well, remember there's different species down
there.
Yeah, four,
right? We introduced two here. One survived. There are at least a dozen species of peacock bass.
I thought there was only four.
No, there are at least a dozen.
Are peacock bass really
Check your
bass?
Current taxonomy. No, peacock bass are cichlids. We talked about this already. But you know what? A largemouth bass isn't a bass either. Largemouth bass are sunfish.
Oh, man, this hurts. Like having to restructure your brain around this, like something you've like accepted your whole life, it's like it's going to be hard to do.
Now, personally, if I wanted to go catch big peacock bass, I don't think I could go to South America to do it. Because there's so much other cool stuff in South America
right.
that I would immediately become distracted by that. I would start out looking for peacock bass and then end up chasing spider monkeys around and then end up being shot by a non-contacted tribe and have my skull put on a stick. So instead,
I'd buy it.
I'm going to go to Thailand
okay.
and I'm going to fish for peacock bass there.
there's not many other things to get distracted with in Thailand? Is that why?
It's just that peacock bass are one of many, many different fish species that they've introduced over there.
Okay.
And it's a tropical country, so you have the opportunity for them to grow big and grow fast. So it's kind of a fishing wonderland over there. So you have all kinds of different opportunities. So I think that that might be a place where I would go look for some larger peacocks and also not worry too much about the political situation.
Okay. That's good to not have anything on your mind while you're fishing, because that kind of ruins the whole going out, clearing your mind, and catching fish kind of situation there.
Definitely.
What would you use there? I feel like you're not going to be using a 4 to 6 pound setup.
No. I think I'd be using something a little bit heavier, maybe something like you might use for bridge snook around here. Something maybe in the 15-pound-ish class with 20-pound line.
Mono or braid? Like,
I'll go braid.
Okay.
Always go braid.
Yeah.
But remember, you're dealing with other species over
Were
there besides...
Were you saying 20-pound leader? 15 braid with 20-pound leader? Or did I
probably
misunderstand that?
A 15-pound setup. In other words, a rod that's rated for something like 12 to 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. Of line, that's what I would consider a 15-pound setup with 20-pound braid. And for the leader, I'd probably go with 30 or 40-pound test, because there are some toothy fish that have been introduced over there, and you never know what's going to eat your bait. And Thailand does not have, as far as I know, any regulations about the live bait you can use, so I would definitely be using live cichlids for bait.
Mm. From the same pond?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Next pond over. I don't care. It's Thailand. What are they going to do to me?
Eat your bait. Take your bait from you. So no, that's
locked up abroad for peacock escapades.
We call them ladies, not broads.
Oh, bum bum. Any last thoughts on peacock bass? Barry, where were you, and what did you use that little mirror lure?
Where was I?
Yeah.
I was in Coral Gables, and I was at a park called Tropical Park, and that was my jam. I caught so many nice peacock in that lake, and it was the biggest one I ever caught was in the winter, because it seemed like during the summer months, only the small ones were close to shore. So, but there's plenty of waterways to go and catch peacock bass in the Miami or South Florida area.
Yeah, and you'll see a lot of smaller ones in areas that you can readily access from shore, places where people can put boats in, and that's fine. The small ones are dumber anyway. Just dial back your tackle, dial back the size of your baits that you're throwing, and have some fun with them. I mean, I've even had those little ones hit half of a night crawler that I'm fishing for bluegills. They're stupid when they're babies.
Yeah, they're just trying to feed and get big.
Absolutely.
And they hang out in the same environments that a largemouth bass would, undercover.
Very similar. So, yeah, other than the fact that you're going to work your lures faster, fishing for them is a lot the same as it is fishing for bass.
All right. Well, that ends our episode on peacock bass. I hope you guys enjoyed and learned a lot from this episode. Thank you, Josh, for coming on with us. Captain Josh Olive and Alex.
RadioWaterline.com and FishCoach.net.
There we go. And this is Captain Barry signing off. And until our next episode, we'll catch you then.